Imagine it's D-Day, June 6, 1944, and you are a young private, and your unit is about to hit Utah Beach. You're in that very first wave, and you are entering into the teeth of the German army, and bullets are flying all around you, and shrapnel is flying around you, and there's blood and gore all around. And you are frightened. You're scared to death for your life. And when you walk out of that boat and onto the shore, the very first thing you see is an old man with a cane standing on that beach directing traffic. And your spirit rises and your courage comes back and you move on. Well, there was an American brigadier general who was described as having a bullfrog voice and Popeyes. He was 5'8" tall. And he was directing traffic with his cane because he had arthritis in his hip. Well, that day there was only one general on Utah Beach. There was only one general on any of the landing groups on the three beaches on Normandy. And his name was Teddy Roosevelt Jr., the son of the famous president. And I had not heard this story before, but I found it fascinating when I was reading it a few weeks ago. But at 56 years old, Roosevelt requested three different times to be able to join the landing party. He wanted to go with his men. He wanted to lead his men. He wanted to be there with them, not send them out, but go with them. And he was denied twice. They said, no, you're too valuable. You're not going to go. He requested it a third time, and his request was approved. Roosevelt was a man who wanted to lead his men. He was a man who wanted to be in the fight. And legend has it that his landing party was actually dropped a mile south of where they were supposed to land. And so a lot of their plan fell apart. And so when they landed, legend says that he pulled his map out. He looked around to see where he was. And he studied the situation. And he said, we'll start the war from right here. Isn't that an amazing story? What a guy. He was called probably the bravest man and the oldest man who served in World War II in Normandy. Well, Roosevelt had been schooled by his famous father in honor, schooled in the thought of military obligation, and he understood duty. And he was a man who fulfilled his duty with a distinction. So turn in this morning, your scriptures this morning with me to the book of Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 1 and we're going to be looking at verses 18 and 21. And we're going to continue this theme of duty as we develop this morning. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 through 21. And as you turn there, I want you to think about this question, because this is what we're going to talk about this morning. In a war for the hearts and minds of men, what should be our duty? What is our role in this war that is going on in the world that we live in today? 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 21. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have handed over to Satan, so they will be taught not to blaspheme. Wow, fascinating passage there. Paul was reminding his young protege, you know, his mentee, Timothy, of the reason that he was posted there in Ephesus. Remember that there were men who were teaching strange doctrines. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. They were teaching things that were not true, and they were confusing the people there. They were actually lying to these people for their own gain. So Timothy was there for one thing. His objective was to do battle with these guys and to win that battle. So we could say Timothy's mission, his responsibility, was to remind the people that were entrusted to him of what the truth is. Let me remind you what the truth is. This is what he was battling for and battling about. Look at verse 15 and chapter 1. This is what it says. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. In other words, Paul says, this is true. You need to accept it because it's really important to you. And here it is. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what Timothy was battling for. That was the truth. Because apparently there were some people in that area who were challenging that. And they were teaching false things that were leading people away from the truth of salvation through Christ alone. So Timothy was there to do one thing. He was there to set these guys straight. That was his mission. And he was right to do it, wasn't he? Because Jesus said this himself. In John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Paul was right in encouraging Timothy to fight for the truth. And that's exactly what he was doing. So let's look at this passage a little more clearly, closely. Look at verse 18 then. I command you. Now, Paul, you know, was talking to Timothy in military terms, wasn't he? How many of you served in the military? Yeah, several of you in here. You get this military jargon, don't you? You know, a command is not a suggestion, is it? A command is something that you are duty-bound to obey. And so Paul is speaking to Timothy in military terms. So we could say that Paul was commanding or charging Timothy, and maybe in just common words we could say, this, Timothy, this is Paul speaking, I order you as your commander in God's army to fulfill your mission, to do your duty. That's how it came across to Timothy, who was reading this letter from Paul. And it didn't stop there. There was more. Paul also said, I entrust it to you. What does that mean? It's yours. It's your mission. You got to fulfill it, and I trust you. I trust you to do it. So why was Paul then so confident that Timothy could do this? Why was he confident that Timothy was the right guy? He goes on, he explains that to us in this same passage. He says, Timothy, I want you to do this because in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, apparently Paul knew about some prophecies. He had heard of them or knew of them that applied to Timothy. Something had been said somewhere in the past that made Paul know that this was the right guy for the job. And that's why Paul said to them, Timothy, because of this, because you've been trained, because you've been equipped, because prophecy says that you are called into the ministry, called into this position, you're the guy. And this is what I want you to do. I want you, Timothy, to fight the good fight. Fight the righteous fight. Fight the noble fight. That's what he wanted Timothy to do, and he was charging him to do it because he knew he could. Some versions of Scripture may use different words. Maybe it says, wage the good war. Maybe your Bible says, wage the good war. Or maybe it says, fight the battle well. Regardless of what it says, it all means the same thing, doesn't it? Get in the fight, and let's fight this thing to win. And so Paul reminds them that they were in a good battle, a noble battle to be in. That word good there, you know, my Bible says good. It's a Greek word that's pronounced kalos, I think. It means noble, it means virtuous, and it means excellent. That's the kind of fight that Timothy was in. That's what Paul wanted him to remember. I think we can look at our own lives, can't we, guys? How many of you feel like you're in a battle sometimes? And it's just ongoing, right? I mean, it's like every day it's relentless, right? To live a pure life, to live a holy life, to live a right life, right? And so we're all in this battle. And believe me, brothers, you're not in it alone. I'm in that same battle. I'm in the same trenches with you. We fight it every single day. And that's what Timothy was being encouraged to understand. You're in a battle. You need to fight that battle. And it's not just a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. Because that's what was going on there. These false teachers were talking about spiritual issues and leading people away. I read this a few days ago. And it resonated with me. And I think it will with you too. Listen to this. There is no better purpose than to live and die in the great war between God and Satan. There's no better purpose than that. When you think about what you're called to do in life, or your father, husband, businessman, there's a lot of things that we're called to do. However, what is the big purpose? What's the big battle? to fight for truth, to protect your loved ones from false teaching. Remind them that salvation comes through Christ alone. Men, a soldier's duty then is to obey his commander. That was Timothy's duty, and that's our duty also, to obey our commander. Regardless of hardship, regardless of difficulty, we do it. You know, a leader, a commander, doesn't have an option to quit. We have to press on. We have to continue. We have to go. Remember what Paul said later in Timothy, to Timothy? Listen to this. Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier for Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Who enlisted Timothy? Paul. Who enlisted Paul? Jesus Christ. Who enlisted me? Jesus Christ. Who enlisted you? Jesus Christ. We're all soldiers in the same army, aren't we, men? Together, fighting this everyday battle. Well, the stakes are high, aren't they? Look at verses 19 and 20. Keeping the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Man, what is he saying? Men, keep the faith. Live a clean and holy life and have a clear conscience, a clean conscience. And if we do that, if we continue to believe and work and put our hope and confidence in him, what happens? We trust in Christ, and verse 15 is active and alive in our life. Here's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save me, to save you. That's what we're fighting for, that truth. But, you know, the question is, what if we don't do that? This is what Paul is telling Timothy. What if you don't do that? What are the results? There they are. Some people have rejected that. They didn't keep good faith. They didn't have a good conscience because of unrepented sin and doing things that were outside the will of God. And what happened to them? They rejected the truth and they suffered shipwreck. In those days, shipwreck was a big deal. Shipwreck meant the end for you. He's talking about a spiritual shipwreck here in regard to their faith. They walked away from it. And here's an example of two different guys who Paul said they walked away from the faith. And what happened? Paul turned him over to Satan. In those days, he's probably talking about church discipline, right? He put him out of the fellowship of the believers so that they would learn not to blaspheme the name of God, so they wouldn't teach false teachings. So men, back to the question I posed at the beginning to you. In a war for the hearts and souls of men, what is our responsibility? What is your responsibility? And we just outlined them there, right there in that passage. Your responsibility as a good soldier is to speak truth, defend the faith. Your responsibility as a good soldier is to fight the good fight. It's to keep the faith. It's to live a clean and holy life and keep a clean conscience. If you do that, you will be a worthy soldier in God's army. And with God's help, you will win your own battle. One final thought. I know we all struggle every day. We all feel like we're in a battle. Sometimes you just get dragged down in the quagmire so much you just don't know where to start. Right? I don't know where to start right now. I'm so deep into this thing. What do I do? Let me encourage you with some additional words that Roosevelt said. You know, when he found himself on that beach, a mile or so away from where he thought he was going to land, what did he do? He examined his position. He looked at the resources that he had. He remembered his mission. And what did he say? We'll start the war from right here. Every man has to determine in his mind that he's going to do that. Every day is a new day, and we need to determine that we're going to start the war from right where we are. And with God's help, because you know you're not on your own, and you have other men around you in fellowship who are here to help you, you will win that war. Let's start our war right here, right now. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for the words of Paul to Timothy and as he was mentoring and training and developing this young guy. reminding him that we are in a battle, but not in the battle alone, and reminding him of how to fight that battle. Father, may we all fight the good fight for our souls, for our own soul, the souls of our wives, our children, those people we love and around us, love around us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do that. We thank you for the help. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, have a good time at your table this morning.